Hi, this is Georgie.
You are listening to the Unused Substitute.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitute.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
This is Wednesday night, so it must be the Unused Substitutes talking about the Tampa Bay Rowdies. I was thinking about this last night, Dan, while I was doing a kind of guesting on another show. How many soccer podcasts do you think are out there, just like fan podcasts?
I don't know if there is a number that I could say that can quantify it.
All right, let's make it easier. How many of them do you think have an introduction song, a theme song, played by a band whose entire gimmick is that they are a group of Teen Wolf basketball players?
Just this one.
It's got to be Just Us, right? Shout out, as always, to Wolfface, local St. Pete guys, for the theme song there. We were talking about this whole little new show we put together, what we were going to like call it and all of those kinds of stuff. All right, so we're back. We're back now to one game a week for the foreseeable future, which is kind of nice, even though the Open Cup is going on right now.
Boo!
Yeah, no score in the game we could have been playing in Miami and Orlando. North Carolina and Houston are level at one right now. Columbus and Cincinnati, I guess, are still tied at zero. So hell might be real, but apparently it's also scoreless. But we're going to talk for a few minutes about the Rowdies game from last weekend. Rowdies won, Rochester won. I'm glad we're done with Rochester. It feels like one of those teams that we just, you know, no matter what, we, you know, it should be a game that we kind of expected to get 3 points out of. And, you know, again, go down early, get a equalizer later on, and then try not to concede anymore by the end. It's just they're one of those, like the boogeyman team.
Yeah, we've played them 4 times. I mean, and what they were the last time was what, 2010, 2011, somewhere around there. So I mean, they're new, and I don't think you can say they earned that draw. They capitalized on a mistake,
right?
And otherwise, they were almost non-existent in the game. And we beat ourselves yet again, which is kind of the problem with this team sometimes,
right?
But it's just overwhelmingly annoying that, you know, that this happens. But I think, you know, next, who knows? This is a team. You're right. We should have beaten, but we ended up drawing ourselves and kicking shooting ourselves in the foot.
Right.
But you're right. I'm glad we're done with them.
So what's your good, bad, ugly?
Good would be most of that game. We played well, for the most part. We even though we went down within the first 5 minutes, we didn't like there's been times in the past with this team where we concede and we vanish. And like disheartened, I think that would, you know, and so it was, we didn't let it discourage us, and we kept on fighting, and it was a decently exciting match. So I would just like to, and we made subs, you know, not too, we didn't use all three, but we, and we kind of made them a little late, but
Both came after the 73rd, 75th minute.
Yeah. I mean, there's just, it was a good game and we played well. Just a quick glance through the stats here. We were the better team by far on everything.
That's a nice possession stat right there.
Almost 70%.
It's nice.
And it showed, like, let's see, where's the, we had, I mean, we somehow gave up 11 shots.
Yeah. Looking, in possessions always is the one seems to be the one everyone goes to, but 575 to 260 passes, long passes about the same, 59 to 56. Rochester was much more reliant on playing the kind of long ball. Passing accuracy, this is where you look at the defense getting back into form. 87% passing for us, 67% for them. Less than 45% in the opposition half for Rochester. Crosses 24 to 10 with a 0% crossing accuracy for Rochester. So the defense, I think, to me, is really the kind of unit of the game if we're going to pick
a group. Like I said, it was a good game. It was, I mean, that was outside of a couple things, which we'll get into in the bad and the ugly. It was a rowdy's game. It was what Stu Campbell pretty much wants.
Well, I was just going to say, it's kind of funny to say the defense was the unit of the game when it was the defensive mistake that led to Rochester's only goal. But outside of that, defense was solid.
Yeah. The only change, weird changes I would make would have been, I still don't like Marcel Schaefer at left back. I'd rather have him in the midfield there. But, what are we going to do?
Yeah. This is a game where you knew there was going to be some changes because of Georgie's absence due to his yellow card accumulation. We had said earlier last week, we wanted to see Patterson get a start. He did. Fernandez was out there. Savage got is that two consecutive starts now for Savage, or did he sub? No, he subbed on in Charlotte.
Yeah, he subbed.
He gets the start here. Had a pretty good game. Played 75 minutes with like something I read in that article that the Rise posted today, something like a 90% passing accuracy. Nanchoff almost made it the entire game without getting a yellow, 89th minute yellow, which means he's out for this weekend. So I think we'll kind of expect to see maybe Savage starting again. Darwin Jones gets a start, which I remember that was one we called for or not.
I wanted him up top if he was going to play, but I like him on the wing as well.
Yeah. And then Marcel Schaefer back in the back. Porter, I thought, we mentioned as a guy who might get a start, and he showed up there as well too. So still some tinkering, which I know I saw this week has been one of the complaints. There's too much tinkering going on the lineup, but we'll get to some of that stuff later. So what was the rest of your good, bad, ugly?
Bad was obviously that defensive error that led to the goal. I don't know what happened. It was across the field and kind of out of nowhere and weird. It seemed like a miscue between Collins and Pickens.
Right.
And that's what killed us pretty much like all last year, was these weird errors like that. And maybe Matt Pickens can't understand Neil, but that stuff shouldn't be happening. I mean, at this point in the season, but it does. I mean, humans, there's going to be error. You can't expect everybody to be perfect all the time. And we recovered well. Like, we scored what, 14 minutes later?
Yep. Joe Cole gets the assist from Marcel Schaefer. And gets, I don't remember how many goals he's gotten this season, but there's a reason why the guy wears the armband, pulls us level, and really just, I'm surprised we didn't score again in this game, to be honest.
We should have, and, Joe Cole said it, that we just didn't, finish our chances, or we didn't take our chances, and he's 100% right. There was plenty of times, especially in that second half, where we were pushing hard in there, like pushing up and in their, like, all up in their stuff and just wouldn't finish. It's like, you know, you drank too much with the hot, before you took the hot girl home. It just wasn't working.
That'll happen sometimes. Ooh, I just saw a big storm story come across my timeline. We'll talk about that one a little bit later, too. That sounds interesting. It involves chocolate and beer.
I briefly saw something about that.
That sounds interesting. All right, so bad. Giving up another early goal. I guess at this point, you know, it almost feels like we're getting used to it. At the same time, it came 5 minutes in. I really wasn't that upset by it. Miami has just taken the lead on Orlando.
Yes.
Uglies?
Maybe that's where I should have put that defensive error and said in the bad that our lack of capitalizing on chances and lack of shooting and things like that. But if barring the defensive error, I wouldn't really say there was any ugly in that match.
No. Referee, I thought, you know, refereeing was fairly decent considering some of the games we've had recently, so I'll let it go. Another three yellow cards for the Rowdies. As we said, Nanchoff is out for this weekend. Now, didn't we have a list last week of about like four or five people who were kind of on the watch list, one card away?
I thought we did.
This week there was no Rowdies players listed among the one card away accumulation. So I'll take it.
Yeah, I'll definitely take that.
Anything else to say about the game itself on the field?
We just need to do better taking our chances. And I tweeted out after the game that these are games we should be winning, and it's getting indefensible and almost unacceptable. And I stand by that. Like, you know, like, we dominated that game in almost every aspect. Like, you ran down the stats there. Right. And what the heck was that? But
just blame it on Rose.
Yep. But we need something. And this doesn't lay at the feet of Stu. I mean, if guys aren't picking their heads up to take a shot, and, you know, it's on them as well. Like, but we, these, especially at home, especially, that's the type of game we need to be winning.
Yeah, and that was something I threw out there when I finally got home from the game afterwards. If the goal for the season is to make the playoffs, then yeah, everything's great. We're doing fine. I'm not as concerned about that as maybe in previous years. But if the goal is to win the championship, get in the playoffs, and then win four straight games, I don't feel like we're at that point. I don't feel like this is a team that just flips the switch that way when they get to the playoffs and goes on a run. Maybe I'm wrong, but to me, you practice how you play and you are who you are. It's not your potential that matters. It's your performance, and the performance. What, this is four games now winless.
Yeah, I think
one
so.
One loss and three draws.
Let's see. Four games.
Yeah.
We've won one out of the last five.
I don't really recall a stretch like that, even in some of the previous years. So, and now we're going on a three-game road trip. Could have been four games if we had an Open Cup game tonight, by the way. I don't know. They've put themselves in a position where they've got to go out and get some wins on the road in this three-game trip. And, you know, you see some ones that look like they can, some games that look winnable, but can they go out there and do it? We'll wait and find out. Your man of the match? The world just end over there?
I need a new aux cord because my headphones and I lost you, so I flipped the cord so maybe they would actually work.
So, who's your man of the match?
Joe Cole.
Yeah, I think I'll have to go that too. I think Savage played a heck of a game, but Joe Cole getting the goal when it counted, saving us from 0 points. I'll go with that. And your stat of the match?
I'm having major technical difficulties.
Do you have your stat of the match?
Where was it? I was going to go with Rochester's the fact that they only had a 43.9% passing accuracy in the opponent's half as a testament to how stout this defense can actually be.
Right.
And in contrast with our set, and that's in the passing accuracy in opponent's half. So that shows again the and we were up to 75.7%. So that is where my stat is.
Mine's going to be kind of a combo of three different stats, but they all kind of play a role with each other. We had 15 shots, four shots on target. Rochester had 23 clearances.
Yeah.
So if you want to, you want something that, that tells you right there that you're not taking the, you're not finishing your chances, you're not taking your opportunities. That's it. We played significantly in the box. I think for the first time in a while, we had 11 of the 15 shots came from inside the box. First of all, 11 shots inside the box and four on target. Got to get better with the shots, guys. Only one was blocked, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that's the kind of story there. And, you know, like Miami is now up 2-0 on Orlando.
Yes.
Take it. Go on, you Miamis. I don't know. So moving on, going on to the next part. Other results from around the Eastern Conference, and I just had to go and update this before the game because there was a game at like 12 o'clock this afternoon. And it changed actually a playoff standing just based on goal difference. So games from last week till now, Orlando hosted Rochester and drew 1-1. Wait, Rochester's good at this draw thing, huh?
Yeah.
Louisville 1-1 to Charlotte. Charleston, you know, they've been alternating between 1 to 2 to 3 points ahead of us in the past few weeks. Took advantage of us dropping points and got all 3 points, 1-0 over Richmond, who we play this week, and now sit 4 points ahead of us in the table. Cincinnati and Charlotte drew 1-1. Ottawa got a 1-0 win over Harrisburg. Toronto 1-1 over Pittsburgh, or I mean 1-1 to Pittsburgh. Red Bull 2 dropped a home game 3-0 to Louisville. St. Louis lost at home 2-1 to Bethlehem Steel. And then today at noon, for some reason, Toronto beat Orlando City B 1-0. Our current playoff standings: Charleston is in first with 27 points, Rowdy's second with 23 points. Louisville is right behind us now with 22 points. And another reason getting points this weekend is important. Louisville, oh, man, Harrisburg is now up 2-1 on. Oh, no. No, I read that wrong. Philadelphia is up 2-1 on Harrisburg. Rochester, 17 points. Red Bull 2, 17 points. Bethlehem Steel, 16 points. Ottawa, 16 points. Ottawa has gotten off to a rough start, has worked their way back into playoff contention. And this is might be the craziest stat of a while. Ottawa is in the position they are on goal difference. They
it's
have,
so dumb.
They have a goal. They have a 2-goal advantage. Actually, 1 goal right now over Cincy. Cincy creeps into the last playoff spot today by virtue of Orlando's loss, which brought them to a -1 goal difference, and Cincy is on a 0-goal difference. Speaking of related news, in the North Carolina-Houston Dynamo Open Cup game, Austin Deleuze has just received a yellow card in the 43rd minute.
For shame, sir.
So let's look ahead a little bit to Richmond. We're not going to do the whole full preview. We talked about them earlier this year.
So didn't we just play them? I can't tell. We've played so many games. I don't remember when.
Seven games ago, though, for both of us, because Richmond's another team that's played 13 games.
So like 2 weeks ago, like
yeah, basically. Now we won that game here, 1-0. That was our third game of the season, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
Because we had
point.
Orlando, we had Toronto, and then we had Richmond. No, that can't be right. Because we've had seven games. No, that can't be right. But we've beat them here 1-0. They haven't won a game. I don't know when they've won a game because we beat them. They have drawn four and lost three since then, in that order. So after we beat them, they drew their next four games, and then they've lost the three games after that. Since that game, we've had two wins, one loss, and four draws as well. Someone's got to win this game.
Eventually.
I don't want to say it's a must win in terms of you know, playoffs or anything like that, but this is a game that we really should get a win. Even though it's a road game, even though it's going into a stadium we've never played in before, this is a game where you've got to, you know, if you're going to be a championship kind of team, a team that wins championships, you've got to go in and get points on the road in a situation like this. Still there?
Yeah. I don't know which microphone this is now using.
I don't know, but I'm hearing you, so it's working. No, now you're muted.
Yeah.
No, there you are.
So I'm having all sorts of problems here. Come on. It sounds like I hear myself in my headphones, and my mic, and I hear you through my speaker and my computer. So I don't know what's going on. Anyway, I agree. We need to be winning games and things. Sorry. I forgot where we were.
And here's the thing, we've got a three-game road trip with Richmond, with Pittsburgh, and then Charleston, which I know a lot of the fans, myself included, are planning on making the trip up to Charleston for that game. If you can get a win in Richmond, then you go on to Pittsburgh, and if you can get a win there, now you're going into this, a win or even a draw, but it's a game you want to win as well, too. If you can somehow get two wins out of these first two games, you go into that Charleston game, feeling pretty good with a lot of confidence and probably have solidified your spot in the standings a little bit. Someone put out there earlier, I forget who it was, it was someone out in the West Coast, and we've complained about how the it's kind of really impossible to tell how good anyone is, really, because you're looking at such a disparity in the number of games played, even though it's starting to catch up a little bit. I think, we're still at 13, there's some at 10. Someone put out there a point per game table. So they broke it down how many points each team has taken from each game on average. We started out the game three games, three wins, all at home. So you start off the year nice with a three average. And now we're below that. We're down to 1.46, which is good for fourth overall out of all the clubs in the East. So second in the actual table, fourth in the points per game. And then conveniently to round it all out, the Reddit power rankings, which we know are highly scientific and very reliable, have us third. Kind of feels that's about where we're at.
Let's just win games.
Yeah. So if we can go out there and get two wins on the road, especially in places like Richmond and Pittsburgh, people will be feeling pretty good going into that Charleston game. That becomes an even bigger game. We'll wait and see what happens. We'll be watching it. Anything else you want to say about Richmond? They don't have any players missing. I don't really know anything else to say about them.
Screw them.
Let's put the screws to them. Let's score early. Let's score often. Just keep scoring and scoring and scoring. Let's just, 75-0.
75-0?
Yeah.
I'll take it,
Matt Pickens hat trick.
Matt Pickens hat trick?
Yes.
I think I would eat my Rowdy's hat if that happened.
That reminds me, I have a hat for you. I keep meaning to bring it. I keep forgetting about it. So next home game, which will be quite a long time away, it seems like. So moving on. Last weekend's game was also, is this the first time they've done a Pride night?
Yes. Yes, it is. I am so very happy they did.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It came off pretty well, even with the weather attempting to interfere at, points now and then. But I love the warm-up shirts. I love they had the kind of rainbow banners around the railings all in the lower bowl area.
I might catch some flack for it. I didn't love the warm-ups because It was what the normal warm up top with that like weird busy line design with a rainbow Rowdy's logo. It was just very hard on the eyes. The back, then you know the
plain
shirt.
Yeah, the back was really cool.
With the rainbow numbers was fantastic, and I did appreciate that. It was just the front was a little hard on the eyes.
And then they had shirts that kind of replicated that on, but just plain t-shirts on sale in the store. With the 17 on the back for 2017.
I thought it was just all for Tam.
Oh, it could be. Maybe. We're proud of Tam. Why not? And they had the socks, too. I did pick up a pair of the socks.
The socks look pretty cool. I didn't get a chance to get in the store. I was a little late getting to the stadium before
the game. I saw you at the stadium because my daughter kept trying to catch her attention at one point. Before the game, when you were down near the like where we walk onto the field, and she was like standing up and waving and stuff. And then one time you were walking over because we sat in our regular seats, and then she was like, Dan, and
I should warn everybody, I am losing my hearing, and I don't mean that in like a silly, sarcastic way. I tried to join the army and I missed, like they put you in the little isolation booth with the little like clicker that you're supposed to push every time you hear a beep.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if I missed one more beep, I would have failed the hearing test.
You're like, have you started yet?
Yeah. Yeah, it pretty much was. And that was when I was 18. So put in, you know, how many 14, 15 more years of blasting music and headphones into my ears and it's going.
Right.
So I apologize if I don't hear you. You might need to be a little louder.
But no, it was I thought it was really well done. They had the gay men's choir of Tampa Bay do the anthem. They did a really good job. That's one of the better anthems we've heard in a little while. So I thought that was all kind of really cool and really well done. Since June is Pride Month, and you know, this is our only game in the month, to me that stinks. This whole schedule's weird. I'm done trying to figure it out.
I was gonna say it's USL. Their scheduling is absolutely asinine,
right?
But it'll do, I guess. I mean, we had such a front heavy home schedule, which I complained about there because it was getting very tiring driving to Al Lang like 3, 4, 5 weeks in a row.
Every weekend, yeah. I when I saw that schedule early on, I was like, oh, cool, man, 3-game homestands. And then you're like, oh, wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, it was a bit overwhelming. And Pride Night was great. And the video board having the We Are Orlando tribute was also a great touch. Some things, obviously, most things transcend a silly sports rivalry.
Right.
And it was just a good night. And it was nice that the team finally took part in something like this. I don't know what took so long. I mean, we've been doing this 3 years and we've never had one to talk about. But we're there. And it was a good time all around. And let's continue that.
Yeah, I thought the folks in the mob that made up the flags for the occasion, I thought those were very well done, very good looking. Hopefully not the only time that we're going to see those. That should be a regular thing, in my opinion, at least. But it was kind of cool. So in kind of a related thing, and I mentioned his name earlier, Austin Deleuze from North Carolina FC, we kind of, you know, we've talked about trying to get him on the show to talk about this this thing he's got going, and then it all just kind of happened. I realized that North Carolina was playing up in we're playing the Cosmos last weekend, and Jake was going to be there, so we kind of made some connections and they chatted for a little bit, and then we got together yesterday, actually, Austin and I, and talked really quick, only about 10 minutes, because like I said, they're playing in the Open Cup tonight. But I asked him a little bit about his organization called Playing for Pride. I could just talk about it or I could just play you the audio. So let me put this on and then we'll come back and be about ready to wrap it. It's going to be kind of a short one tonight. Well, we got the other thing we can talk about.
Yeah, we got, 10 minutes will put us in. Yeah, we'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll be good. All right. So here's Austin Deleuze talking about Playing for Pride. That's the wrong audio. Let's try.
I was gonna say, are we over? Yeah, that was a quick interview.
That's still the wrong audio. It's I've got the right thing. Let's try this now. I have it highlighted in my audio player, and it's the wrong one. All right, we are joined tonight. This is the first time actually, I make it sound like I'm doing this live. We're recording this on Tuesday afternoon, and this is the first time ever we've had a non-Rowdies player on the show. I'm joined by Austin DeLuz, midfielder for North Carolina FC, formerly the Carolina Railhawks. How you doing, Austin?
I'm doing well. I'm honored. Honored to be here. Appreciate honored to be the first non-Rowdies player.
Yeah, like we just started doing some players and stuff last year, and then it's all been about, you know, kind of the game kind of stuff, and we're going to talk about a little something different today. So it's kind of cool. It's kind of new territory for us.
Yeah, it's great. I appreciate you guys having me.
So the reason we're talking to you today is you're involved with you started the organization called Playing for Pride. Tell us a little bit about it and how did it get started.
Yeah, so basically all it is just sort of a fundraising campaign. All the money that we raise goes to the Human Rights Campaign, which is the largest organization in the country fighting for LGBTQ rights. And how it got started is just, obviously I'm from North Carolina, and we've, you know, had our issues with HB2 over the past year, I just wanted to do something to show my support for the LGBTQ community here and try to fight that stigma that was created by HB2, sort of put our state in a negative light. And it's sort of just taken off from there. It's spread pretty far and still going strong.
So the way it's kind of set up is players that sign up and join the movement. It's a donation for each game played and start and goal and assist and things like that. How'd you settle on the idea of doing kind of a performance based campaign?
Well, I knew I just wanted to connect it to soccer somehow, and you know, the more I just started messing with it in my head, the more that kind of made sense was just to sort of do something a little bit more sustained. You know, a lot of teams and you know, leagues have pride nights and pride weeks and things like that, but I wanted to do something a little bit more sustained for a longer period of time. And so just to make, you know, these small donations every game just kind of made sense. And it's worked out pretty well so far. You know, a lot of fans have taken to it and have enjoyed matching players each game, and a lot of people have come up with their own things. You know, we've had some supporters groups pledge to donate, you know, like a dollar for every goal their team score or a dollar for every point their team has in the standings and stuff like that. So people have really taken ownership of it and seem to be enjoying it. So it's been going really well.
You kind of, I think you read my mind there with my next question. I was going to ask you what kind of reception you've gotten from fans and players. Has it been mostly positive, mixed, or what's the response been like?
It's been almost uniformly positive. You know, like I said, people seem to really enjoy using it as a way to interact with us as players. You know, all the players that have reached out and gotten involved have done a really good job of sort of spreading this message of positivity and you know, they've really, you know, kind of run with it on social media and on Twitter, and you know, we've created a cool little community on Twitter where, you know, I've gotten to know some people, and everybody seems to really have gotten united behind the cause.
You mentioned, you know, this started out with you know, getting some players behind it first, and it's kind of spread to the fans and some of the supporters groups. How many players do you have right now total participating, and did you reach out to them? Did they contact you, or a little bit of both, or how'd that work?
Yeah, so right now we have 38 players total committed to doing it, and they all have their own sort of fundraising pages through our CrowdRise page. And almost every single person has come to me and asked to be involved. And I think that's really, really cool, is that, you know, I haven't had to hound people about it. I haven't, you know, chased people down and pressured anyone into doing it. I just kind of put it out there, and people have really gravitated towards it and have shown a real desire to get involved and spread that positive message that I, you know, alluded to. And I think, you know, that's one thing I've learned, and I'm continuing to learn as this goes on, is that, you know, I think the most difficult part of activism, if that's what you want to call it, is just sort of deciding to act. And so that was the hardest part for me, was just kind of making the decision to go ahead and do it. And once I did that, I just found that so many people wanted to get involved and you know, were like-minded and wanted to help. So that's been a really cool thing to see happen.
Very cool. You mentioned this all started back with the passage of HB2 in North Carolina. And I know since then there's been changes in the governor and in the legislative branch in North Carolina. And they've made some changes or I don't know if they, you know, partially repealed the bill, whatever it is. What's your take on the situation there now? What's changed since the bill was first passed?
You know, there has been what they will call a repeal. You know, I personally don't agree with that repeal. I think it was not nearly strong enough. But, you know, as far as the stigma that HB2 initially created, I think that's still lingering. You know, and that's something that's going to take a while to sort of, you know, wash our hands of. And, you know, our legislature put us in that position, and that's something we got to live with. But, you know, I was sort of tired of all the negativity and the constant complaining, and I just wanted to do something about it. And you know, I've been happy to see that a lot more people all over the state have been thinking the same thing. And you know, so many people, not just, you know, involved with Playing for Pride, but in so many different organizations like Equality NC and the ACLU of North Carolina and Human Rights Campaign have been fighting so hard to, you know, fight for LGBTQ rights here in our state.
Yeah, it's probably kind of cool to have this kind of reaction kind of reaffirms your belief that, you know, you're not the only one who feels this way, and that there's a lot of other people from a big, you know, kind of different walks of life who support this and feel the same way, too. What are some ways that are – how could you get fans and other players to get involved? What's the next steps?
So almost everything that happens, all the updates and stuff like that, happen on Twitter. At Playing for Pride is where you can follow along. And you know, I've said it quite a few times on there that, you know, any player who wants to get involved can just reach out. They can DM me or tweet at me or whatever it is, whatever they want to do. They can even just go straight onto the CrowdRise site and sign up themselves. They don't even have to go through me. But yeah, that's where everything's happening. That's where the word's getting out, and that'll continue through the end of this season. So we got a long way to go.
All right. So you mentioned it's mostly it's kind of an all online thing right now, and you said it's at Playing for Pride on Twitter.
Yep.
Is there like a short address for the CrowdRise page that you can like say, or we'll just look it up and put it out there when we air this tomorrow?
Yeah. So the there's a link to the CrowdRise site on the Twitter page, but if you go to crowdrise.com. /playing-for-pride. That's the main CrowdRise site where people can make donations and also see all the players that are involved. I keep the roster updated on there. So yeah, those are the two main spots.
And then on Twitter, what's your handle?
Mine is just @AustinDeLuz.
All right. So if anyone's interested, give them you'll get in touch with one of those different outlets, and you'll take care of them. All right, I think that's pretty much it. I know you've got an open cup coming up tomorrow night. You guys probably have some work you're still going to get done, so I appreciate it. You guys are playing in Houston, you said, right?
Yeah, Houston Dynamo is coming to town, so should be a good one. Hopefully we can pack the house here and continue that open cup magic that we've had in the past.
Any players on Houston participating so far? You have to go up against anybody that you're working with?
Yeah, not yet. I there are some familiar faces on that team, so I don't know. Maybe we'll talk after the game or something like that. But yeah, we don't have anybody from there yet.
All right. Well, we'll keep working on some of our guys here and see what we can do. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it, and good luck tomorrow night.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
All right, Austin. Thanks a lot. Talk to you later.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
All right, so we're back. Dan, for some reason, I'm showing you as being muted, and I'm trying to unmute, and I don't see how it's working. Let me try. Yeah? No. I don't know what's happened. Well, anyway, we want to say thanks to Austin for taking some time out yesterday. Try it now. Are you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. Oh. Thanks to Austin for taking time out yesterday to chat with us. And I put out there, I just put out there on Twitter the website for Playing for Pride on CrowdRise. So check it out if you want to get involved somehow. I've been trying to think of some way that we could get involved too. And I don't know. We'll have to bounce around some ideas and figure out something because I'd like to do a little something.
I would like to get involved as well, but I would really like a Tampa Bay Rowdies player or three or four or five to get on that to get in on it. But I don't know how to make that happen.
Yeah. We'll see. It'll work out at some point, hopefully. So the big news during the interview there, Cincinnati has scored on Columbus with leads 1-0, about 20 minutes to go, with an announced attendance of 30,160.
I mean, it does look pretty packed.
Just been posted a non-final attendance record for, you know, not for a final, not for the final game of the Open Cup. So, good for them. That's a, that, you know, it's the first time those two clubs are facing off against each other. So it's a sign that that can be a good area, for some soccer.
Screw them.
Well, I mean that too, but
I mean, I'm wearing one of my Columbus Crew shirts, so screw them right now.
I'm wearing my Shamrock shirt where I watched us lose to Columbus the last year's Open Cup.
Oh, last year's Open Cup. Isn't that it? And then it got rained out for like 4 hours, yeah, and then it ended it like, ugh.
Yep. Meanwhile, Atlanta and Charleston still haven't kicked off because of really bad rain delay up there. Lightning and thunder and all that good stuff. So, yeah, thanks again to Austin for coming on. Next thing I was going to talk about would be just a reminder about the Charleston field trip that a lot of us seem to be going on, and I think I've even altered my plan tonight to where I'm going to go up on Thursday, be there Thursday, Friday, go to the game Saturday, and then leave from there on Sunday. There's a big crew coming. There's a big crew. Our buddy Kevin is actually – that's going to be the first of his several Rowdies games. He's coming down here for a game. He's taking like 2-3 weeks off of taking leave from the Marines. And he's going to be coming down here and then going to the U.S. game against Martinique, which I'm going to. And then I said, by the way, there's a Rowdies game the next day, too, in Orlando. So put that on your calendar. So he's added that one in as well. So it will be cool to meet some of the guys we see and hear on Twitter a lot in person. But yeah, go on the Mob's Facebook page. They've got some an event page up there to organize. If you're looking for a ride, if you're looking for a place to stay, throw it out there because we've there's anywhere from like 25 to upwards of 50 people saying that they're going to go. So we'll see what turns out in the end. But yeah,
I need a plan and a cost, and I would like to go, but I need definitive plans and like framework to work in.
Okay, dirt cheapest place I've found to stay.
I think I would have a place to stay. Okay. I just don't want to drive by myself.
See, if I didn't have the whole family with me, I'd take you. But and if we were coming back home afterwards instead of going down to the other side of Florida first for a couple of days.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'd be cool to go. It's gonna be a fun trip. All right, so the other thing we're going to talk about, and we retweeted this out there earlier today. I got together with a couple guys from other BGN shows because I have conveniently yet again forgot to mention that part of the Beautiful Game Network. Find them on Twitter at the BGN FM or online at BGN.FM. I got together with Evan from Bethlehem Steel podcast, Dom from the Phoenix Rising podcast, and Charles from Mongols, the Pittsburgh podcast. And we just kind of talked about the good and bad, the pros and cons about the Open Cup, which Open Cup, this round is going on right now as we're talking. If we had beaten Miami last week or last round, we'd have been in Orlando tonight. Are you glad we're not, or are you kind of wishing we were?
I'm 100% glad we're not in Open Cup or doing any of that crap anymore. Mid-season, I mean, it just look at how much match congestion we had beforehand, and add in more games, and just lower league soccer in general isn't deep enough for this stuff, which is one of the reasons why they don't succeed and why it's MLS team after MLS team, because MLS teams can throw out youthful kids like academy kids, or I mean, I know academies aren't too strong, but they can throw out players that aren't playing, and they have deeper rosters and deeper pockets to do this. It's just, I don't like the Open Cup. And I know a lot of people live for it because it gives you that hope and magic of the cup. But I am not one of those people. Just give me the regular season.
I enjoy it because, you know, it's been a chance to see some of these other clubs, to play against them, to engage with some of their fans that we don't normally see. Now with the league switch, it's more, it's less of a novelty because, you know, I'm not even going to count the Armada U23s. It's a youth team. But then we play Miami, who we played Miami, you know, several times last year. But it's nice to be able to play them again in a kind of a meaningful game. And that was one of the things that, you know, we're in a unique position here in Florida where you've got USL teams, you've got NASL teams, you've got MLS teams, you've got PDL teams. And it kind of fits into that that regional model they've done, which I think personally the regional model might be doing some of the damage to the Open Cup because you get a lot of the same matchups year after year after year. It's, you know, not the same as kind of the random draw you would get. Now, United States is obviously a much larger place than England or some of the countries that have these cup competitions. So you've got to kind of have a different style to it, I think. And I said this last night in the show, and I don't want to repeat everything I said on there because I want you guys to go listen to it. I thought we had a fun time doing it. It was pretty well done. The league will always be the top priority to me over everything else. And yeah, I know there's the you know, a little bit of incentive about, you know, you can make money by advancing if you're lower round or winning the cup, and then there's the dangle of a CONCACAF Champions League spot. That's fine, but at the expense of making the playoffs or getting in the league, or I mean winning the championship, not at all. That was actually what we led off with. The question was, if I told you right now that you would make the semifinals of the Open Cup but miss the playoffs, and I'm like, that's not even a question. You don't extend contracts and you don't keep coaches and players on because you did good in the Cup. Those are rewards you get for performance in the league and winning the league, and that's always going to be my top priority.
Ask Kenny Dalglish how that went.
Yeah, I retweeted it before. I'll put it out there again later. And part of the reason I thought this, especially this year, the amount of matches we've already played in May, which is when the Open Cup started for us, you know, that was two more matches on top of the five we played during the month, including two trips to Canada, one trip to Rochester. If we had played Orlando, we'd be playing tonight before going on a road trip. Three game road trip to Richmond, where we need to get a result. A win is you've got to get a win. There's no reason not to get a win in that game. But I think an Orlando game is. And now I'll be honest, if we had won against Miami, I'd be in Orlando tonight. I'd be there watching the game. But at the same time, I think that would have been such a huge distraction for fans, for players, for the club that. You know, if we end up playing Orlando, do you take a win in that game? Does that make you feel better if you lose to Richmond? Maybe some, but I want 3 points in the league more than anything else.
Yeah. I mean, I think if we made it and we beat Orlando, that's a pick me up. But if you throw that loss in and then you lose or draw any combination of the next three road trip games, how bad are you feeling and how tired are you? And was it worth it? It's risk and reward there. And I would rather focus on the league. I said it before the Open Cup. I said it during the Open Cup. I mean, yes, obviously we're going to support this team in any match they play. And if they could find a way to deepen the bench to make Open Cup runs possible, that's fine. But currently, the way it stands, no, I'd rather not.
Yeah, that was another thing with a 22-man roster, and yeah, the talent gap between the starting 11 and the back 11 is a lot less than before, but you still don't think have the numbers of players, the amount of players really on this roster even right now, for this, especially not this May schedule, as we get out of that into a more realistic schedule, it's gonna be a lot easier, it's gonna make a lot more sense, but. We're not set up for it this year, in my opinion. So I'm not feeling so terrible about that.
No, me neither.
Anything else you want to say about the Cup?
No.
All right. So are we ready to wrap it up?
Yeah, might as well.
All right. So we'll throw our We Love Yous out there this week. Who do you got?
Everyone. I love everyone. Everybody that was there, to help make everybody who was responsible for putting Pride Night together there. Austin DeLuz for being on and his efforts there to combat the what's going on in the North Carolina legislature. Still, I know there was some half repeal thing that didn't really make anything easier. Just people efforts like that. And I know there's been a little keep politics out of soccer. This isn't politics. Love isn't politics. As Lin-Manuel Miranda said, love is love is love. And let's just, I love everybody.
All right. So I've now been on a podcast last night where we discussed Great Gatsby. And then tonight where we're bringing in Lin-Manuel Miranda. This has been
I will bring in Lin-Manuel Miranda into every aspect of my life because that man is a hero, he is a legend, and he is one of the greatest humans that has ever lived.
So you're all fired up for the new DuckTales?
New DuckTales, Mary Poppins, anything that he is touching and is a part of, I want to be a part of. I love him.
All right. I can't argue with that on that as well. These are funny tweets now. Apparently Columbus is lighting off white smoke in the stands. So someone says, looks like Columbus has sending up the white flag. But the good one, this comes from the Cincy Pride, one of the supporters group. Columbus has chosen a new pope. I like that. Do you think it's Tony?
I was just about to say, if I wasn't yawning, it's probably Tony.
It's probably Tony popping the smoke and also having been chosen as the new
He's
pope.
Chosen himself as the new Cincy Pope.
All right, my We Love You. I'm going to throw it to Alex Morrell. So we got to the stadium on Saturday and parked. And despite the lot being pretty much half empty, they told me at the gate that they weren't taking cash for parking. It was people with parking passes only. So I used the media pass we have and went and parked over there rather than go park and tailgate. And as we got out of the car, you know, a lot of the players park around there as well, too. Saw Alex and talked to him for a few minutes. He's been on the show before and said, hey, well, it was really great. I really loved being on it. Anytime, I'm more than happy to come back on anytime and chat with me and with my daughter for a little bit. And she didn't realize who he was. I don't know how she hasn't memorized all the players and all their vital information by now, but she hasn't. I'm a bad parent. Then we went inside and he was out there warming up. One of the first guys out there warming up. And I was like, yeah, there's the guy we were talking to. And she was like, he's a player? And I go, yeah, what? Why else would I have him on the podcast? So shout out to Alex for that. Seattle fans are going in on Orlando now. This is fun. Comparing Open Cup attendance between Cincinnati and I guess whatever the crowd is in Orlando.
Orlando's down 3-0.
Oh, such a shame. So that's my We Love You for this week. So you can support us as always on our Patreon and our Fubo and by buying scarves. We still have some left. They are in production. They have been paid for. So I really hope, number one, I hope I have them in time to go to Charleston because Adam Martin bought a couple and want to take them up there. But if not, we'll have them for the next home game. So you can get those from us and help us out. We appreciate that as always. Give us a rating and review on iTunes, on Google Play, on whatever else.
But not an honest review, 5 stars or nothing.
Yeah. Don't talk about what it's really like. Just say it's good.
What I tell all of my ex-girlfriends.
That's giving me a flashback to last night too. I won't tell you why.
Don't say that again.
No, to the other podcast I did last night. I'll tell you about it in a minute. Thanks again to Wolfface, to Radio St. Pete, to Shamrock, to Big Storm, to Beautiful Game Network. That's it for this week. We're out of here. We'll be back next week.
Yeah.
Now let's see if I can get the right music.
The Randy was here, the Randy was there, they kicked the wall around.